Okay, calm it down now, okay? Okay, so last week while Zach was speaking, God was really speaking to me, and he was like, Piper, I think you probably need to speak next week. And I was like, okay, I'll ask Miss Chelsea. And I was thinking, like, about different topics that I could speak about, because there's so many, like, different things to, I guess, like, give a sermon about. And this one topic kind of just popped into my mind, and it was finding God and, like, how to find him and, you know. So tonight I'm going to answer two questions that I asked when I wanted to find God. The first question, hold on. The first question is, why do we need to do it now? How many of you tell yourselves that you have time to read the Bible and pray and spread God's word later? You have time to do that later. You don't need to do it now, right? No, that's not right. No. God is full of grace. He's all-knowing. He is good. We are his children, and he wants to give us the things that will make us happy. He wants to give us eternal life and happiness. So why would we want to wait to get that? God cares for us so much, and that he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice between heaven and hell, and he gives us a choice between sin and an eternity with him, because there's no way we can have both. In the Bible, it gives us many examples of things that will go on in hell. In Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, it says, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. In this verse, God wants the people who choose sin to know what will happen. The reason I'm up here tonight is because I don't want any of you to have to hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because we never know when the first trumpet will blow. The second question I asked is, how do I get closer to God? If we want to learn about God, then we should read his word. That is basically telling us how to hear him, how to find him, how to follow him. If you're struggling to hear him call out to you, then all you need to do is read his word. The reason we say, oh, I'll read my Bible later, or, oh, I'll pray later, is because we see it as a chore. We see it as something to get out of punishment. But what it really is something that helps us get to know and love God just as much as he knows and loves us. We shouldn't just see him as something that will either send us to heaven or hell. We should see him and love him for what he is. Sorry. This doesn't just mean reading your Bible and praying. It also means sharing the word. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. We need to share his word not only to save others, but give them eternal happiness, even if it means sharing the word with people we don't like or we have problems with, because it's kind of hard for me to just say, Jesus loves you, to someone who is saying bad stuff about me. So I know it's probably hard for y'all to do that too. It's going to be, when you do start to give, like, follow God and start knowing him, it's going to be very hard to give up things that bring you down. But I promise, when you do give up the sins that are keeping you away from your relationship with God, you will be so much happier. Like, it's insane. There's also going to be ways that God challenges you. Like, right now, last week, I asked Miss Chelsea to speak, and I was like, Miss Chelsea, I just need 5 minutes. Like, that's all I want. Do you know what she said? She said, 5 minutes? I don't know. Just do 15. And I was like, 15 minutes? Are you serious? Like, do you not remember, like, fine arts? I literally went up there and didn't even speak for 5 minutes. Like, you're asking me to speak for 15. And she didn't actually say this, but she basically said, no, you're just going to speak for 15 minutes. Like, you're fine. And I was like, no, don't. So that was definitely a challenge to even come up with the words for the sermon. But, you know, he could challenge you to speak 30 minutes, or it doesn't even have to be like a big challenge. He could challenge you to bring up his word in a conversation with a friend. One person God challenged was Job. Job was a wealthy, righteous man who lost everything in his life. He lost his children, his health, and all of his possessions. Although he did nothing wrong, God allowed Satan to come in and test him, basically. Then when Job questioned God, he answered with many questions, one of which being, where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth? God's challenge to Job wasn't about punishing him, but it was about deepening Job's relationship with God and his faith with God. Job's faith was restored, or in the end, Job's faith was restored, and he was blessed even more than before. So we have to have faith that even though we go through hardships with God, and even though we get hurt, and people hurt our feelings, or something comes in and just ruins everything, we have to remember that it will make us better people than before, and God will help us become that person. He isn't distant. He's just waiting for you to be perfect before you come to him. Sorry, hold on. I lost my place. As I wrap this up, this is a challenge right now. What is going on? Okay, as I wrap this up, I just want to remind you, God isn't distant. I just read the complete wrong part, sorry. As I wrap this up, I just want to remind you, God isn't distant. He's not waiting for you to be perfect before you come to him. He's ready now. He's been calling out to you, just like he was calling out to me last week. And the truth is, we don't know how much time we have left. So why would we want to wait to experience the peace, the purpose, and the love that only God can give us? If you're wondering how to get closer to him, it's simple. Talk to him, read his word, and share what he's doing in your life. It might feel uncomfortable, it might stretch you, but that's how God grows us. Just like he challenged Job, just like he challenged me, he may be challenging you too. But through every challenge, there's a purpose. And through every step closer to God, there's more joy, more freedom, and more life than anything this world can offer. So tonight, I'm just asking you, are you ready to find God? Okay, good.
Amen. It takes a lot of courage to get up there and do that. Looking back, my first sermon I preached, I was still in high school. We did like three of us took like one point and preached a point in a sermon. And I'll never forget, I actually used a story out of one of my history books in school on this theologian guy, Pascal, I think was his last name. But like that was, just to do that like 5 minutes, like that was, if you haven't done it, and continuing to do it is something that you have to do in order to be more comfortable. So, great job, Piper. Y'all give her a round of applause. All right, so I didn't know until earlier what exactly Piper was going to talk about tonight. I knew, you know, that she wanted to share, And so my message goes, we're not talking about Job, it's another J name, Joseph. And it goes along great. Ain't that awesome how God works like that, right? Okay, so, who do I want to look at? I can't, you're an only child, I can't ask you this question. Oh, I didn't know that. I ain't never seen them. Do your parents have a favorite? Yes. Yeah. Jamie said, it's me. Are you it or is it one of your siblings? Okay. Well, listen, I know that my parents have a favorite. Okay. And guess what? I ain't it. Never have been. Nope. It's okay. It's okay, though. It's okay. I don't mind. I really don't. Okay? Because the Justice League seeker within me, you know, this whole trying to raise my parents thing, it's a whole new world. But we're going to talk about Joseph. And in Genesis 37, verse 2 through 4, it says, this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Was he a tattletale? You think so? And I had this thought today because I always kind of thought like that, you know, like that younger sibling, like they always be tattling, right? But like, or was it because his father trusted him? Because if we look, and we're going to look later on in Joseph's life, Joseph had integrity. He did. So the first point that we're going to talk about tonight is how God's plan is bigger than our pain. Like Piper was saying with Job. God saw Job. He knew he was good. He knew that Job had faith in him. And he was like, this is my servant. This is a real good dude right here. Test him and see. And so Satan did. And Job had a real bad. He lost everything. You know, their wealth in those days was their livestock and the size of their family. He lost all his kids. He lost all his stuff. Not that nagging wife, though. That was like the heel digging it in, wasn't it? Yeah. But so in Joseph's life, we see how God's plan is bigger than his pain. In Genesis 37, 23 through 28, it says, so when Joseph arrived, okay, so his dad sends him to go check on him, okay, see what they're doing. So his brothers, they rip off the beautiful robe he was wearing. See, they knew it was Joseph coming because of the robe that he was wearing. They saw him from afar and saw him coming and began to plot. So first they wanted to kill him. Then Reuben was like, let's not do that. We'll just throw him in here, in this cistern. And he had a plan. He was going to come back and get him. But then the other brothers, they decided to sell him. So they grabbed him. They threw him into the cistern. And it says, now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. So then just as they were sitting down to eat, they look up and see a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt. Now in this moment, Joseph faced rejection. Have any of you ever faced rejection? Okay, he also faced betrayal. Anybody ever faced betrayal? Yeah. What about hardships? Like when life is just a struggle. Yeah. Yeah. See, and the thing with Joseph, this wasn't a consequence of his own actions. But really, it was about him getting to where he needed to be. Better yet, where God needed him to be. Because even when he didn't understand, God was working. Even when you don't understand the circumstances and the situation that you're in, why you're there, why what's happening to you is happening to you, God is working. We just can't see it. You may face unfair treatment, loneliness, or feel overlooked in school, at home, or in friendships. But don't let that pain cloud your purpose. And trust that God is doing more than you can see. What Job went through, that is a testament to us that it is possible to lose everything and come out better than before. The second thing that we can see through Joseph is that integrity matters, even when nobody's watching. In Genesis 39, 6 through 12. So Potiphar bought Joseph. He becomes his slave. And Potiphar gives Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything that he owned. And with Joseph there, he didn't worry about anything except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. She said, "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." But she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. Dude straight up ran out of there. He was like, "No, ma'am." In the moment, Joseph had a choice. He chose to be righteous instead of to find pleasure. How often are we making that choice? How often do we choose to be righteous, to be faithful to God over something that will give us momentary happiness, momentary feelings of being on a high? How often do we have to make that choice? Do you have to choose that on a daily basis? Are you doing a good job of choosing the right thing on a daily basis? When Joseph made that choice, it cost him his reputation and his freedom. What is your cost? Is having integrity worth your reputation? He honored God in that moment, and so God was able to honor Joseph because integrity does matter. Because you may not think anybody's watching, but God sees. God knows. Do the right thing. Because who you are in secret shapes who you are in public. The last thing is that forgiveness is greater than revenge. Genesis 50, 19 through 21, it says, but Joseph replied. So his brothers, full circle moment, okay? His brothers are now bowing down in front of him. He's second command in Egypt. And he's looking at him. He's like, don't be afraid. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Joseph, in that moment, chose forgiveness. He could have sought revenge after his brothers capturing him, throwing him down in a hole, and selling him into slavery. He also spent time in jail, all because of what they chose to do. But Joseph remained righteous, and he continued to have faith. Because now he had the power to do whatever he wanted to. He had the power because there was a famine in the land. His family was coming to Egypt because there was no food where they were. They were sent to buy food. Can you imagine their surprise when they realize that the man they're coming to beg to sell them food is the brother that they thought that they had gotten rid of? Joseph saw how God orchestrated his position so he could save his family. Such a full circle moment. His dreams fueled his brother's anger against him, but they also got him in position in order for them to happen. His dreams caused him to be a slave, but they also got him out of prison and into Pharaoh's palace as the second in command. Someone may have hurt you, wronged you, a friend, a parent, a teacher. But holding that inside, holding that against that person, that's called bitterness. Okay, and when it takes root inside of you, it drives a wedge in your relationship with God. And it is a burden. It is an unnecessary burden for us to be carrying. What we need to do is let God heal us and free us so that we can forgive. Not because the people that hurt us deserve it, but because grace set us free, so they deserve grace also. And I want you to remember one thing tonight. Though Job was being tested, God was working. Although you're going through some stuff, some junk, God is working. And it may be years before you realize it. Don't lose hope right now. Most of the time, you know, we don't realize until the dream that God gave us is happening right in front of us. We don't realize what he did. Stay faithful. Keep your heart pure. And choose forgiveness. Because God will do it even better than you could have imagined. Something's been heavy on my heart lately. I feel like, and Piper mentioned, living for God now. It is very dangerous for us to have the attitude, I can make that choice later. I just want to do what everybody else is doing. I don't want to be different. I just want to go with the flow. It's very dangerous to have that attitude because, I mean, 19-year-old Josiah, he could have died. 19. I've been to the funeral of a 16-year-old boy in a boat at night, couldn't see. Something happened with the boat. He didn't make it. Now, thankfully, I know that kid was living for Jesus, and 75 students got saved at his funeral. That, in such a heart-wrenching moment, that God made it amazing. You don't know how long you have. That's why it's important for us to live for Jesus now. Okay? And don't get me wrong, guys. You may look at me and be like, Miss Chelsea, you're so old. You ain't got no idea what it's like, what we're going through. It's just so hard. I know. I get it. I know how hard it is to be the only one, to be alone. I graduated with over 300 students from my high school. Do you know how many of them I felt like was like they was my friend and they was living for Jesus like I was trying to live for Jesus? Zero. My best friend graduated from Midland. That's 30 minutes. I didn't have nobody at school. So if you're sitting here and you're like, but Miss Chelsea, it's so hard at school because I ain't got nobody. Same. Don't act like you're the only one going through that. There are other people trying to walk that path. But what we need to do is we need to get over ourselves, okay? And we need to come together. Because the only way that we're going to be strong in the moment is when we got somebody there to be strong with us. Bring people along with you and stop trying to do it all yourself. I can tell you from right here, it is possible. To go through high school, to not smoke a cigarette. We didn't have vapes back then, thank you, Jesus. To not smoke weed. That was all over the place. To not drink. To not go to parties. Zero desire. God can take, you want God to take that desire from you? He can do it. To not have sex before marriage. It's possible. But you have to decide. You have to choose. And you have to choose every single day. You can't just walk up to here tonight and say, okay, God, I'm going to choose you. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to live with integrity. I'm going to be righteous. And then wake up tomorrow and be like, nah, it don't work like that. Because God wants to see you faithful. Yes, there is grace. Yes, there is mercy for when we mess up. But are you deciding to mess up? Are you choosing that over God because you're just like, eh, it's just too hard. I feel like I hear that word a lot. It's just too hard. Listen, I do hard things every day, okay? I have pastors' wives that are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, why is that so strange? I don't understand. But whatever. I'm a diamond, I guess. I don't know. No, a unicorn. I'm a unicorn. That's what I am. I'm a unicorn. But it is possible. But you got to decide how bad you want it. How bad you want to live it. Right? Is anybody out there you feel like God isn't working in your life? And you're brave enough to share. Listen, we're all about being vulnerable. How are we going to be unified if we don't know people struggling? How are we going to be there for each other if we don't know what they're going through? Anybody struggling to see God in your situation? Angel? Yeah? Do you want to share? Okay. Missy? Do you want to share? No? What? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I know it is hard. There are things in Joe and I's life that for whatever reason we had to wait for. We had to wait for prayers to be answered. We had to wait for things to happen. Even though we knew that that's what God called us to, we still had to wait. And having to wait can be torture. Living in limbo feels like torture. But what it does on the other side is give you a faith that you know whatever God asks, whenever He asks it, that you can say yes, because we can do hard things. Right, Jace? Say it with me. Say, I can do hard things. Why can we do hard things, Jamie? Because we got God. Stand with me tonight. Father, I thank you, God, for each one of these students. Lord, I thank you, God, for the struggles, Lord, that they are going through, that they're walking through, because, God, those are the things that will push them closer to you, will give them an opportunity to exercise their faith. But, God, I also pray for those tonight that are struggling to see you working in their situation. God, you know every detail. Nothing is hidden from you. And Lord, I pray that throughout the next couple of weeks, Lord, that you would give those that are struggling a reminder. God, that something would happen in their life. Something that they have desired to see or to even to have. God, that you would provide that for them. As like you just winking at them, saying, I see you. I know. I care about you. I love you. Father, I pray that you would do that in their lives. If you're in this place tonight and you just want to come up to the front and you want to pray, you have a specific need. We're going to pray at the end for Josiah. But if you have a specific need, then I want you to go ahead and come up to the front. Leaders, if you would start coming up to the front and meet these students here tonight. Father, I pray that you would just move in this altar, God, that you would have your way, Lord, in all of our lives, God, that you would just pour your spirit and your anointing out.